Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Theodore Kuntz. He's the president of the Board of Directors of Vaccine Choice Canada. He's also the author of Dare to Question, One Parent to Another. And there's been a lot of research and a lot of study behind your work. And another person who has done a lot of research is Robert Kennedy Jr. And one of the things he reported was that mainstream news programs receive about 70% of their advertising revenue from the pharmaceutical industry. Did you come across things like that with his work too?
Yes, I've been a follower of Bobby Kennedy's work. I think he's an incredible warrior, and he's been able to really look at the conflicts of interest that are happening in our mainstream media now. And so what's becoming apparent is that the mainstream media will only allow a pro-vaccine message to be out there. I have challenged our media across Canada, Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, CBC, National Post, and requested that they provide a fuller accounting of the real science or lack of science behind vaccination, and they've absolutely refused to do it. The other thing that I've requested is that they stop referring to people like myself as anti-vaccine. I'm pro-informed consent. Mm-hmm. Or another label is that I'm a parent of a vaccine injured child, and they're unwilling to acknowledge vaccine injury. So of course they won't refer to me as a parent of a vaccine injured child, and they insist on using the language of anti-vaccine, even though it's clearly dishonest and deceptive. And so What I've realized is that the media are not interested in telling the truth. What they're interested in is an agenda that I suspect is coming from higher levels, either financial or ideological. So,
tell us some truths and some backup to vaccines and why we should have choice.
Well, one of the things that I find that was shocking for me, and most people had no idea, is that vaccines do not undergo the same level of safety testing as every other pharmaceutical product. And so they've been granted a special classification by themselves. They're called biologics. And so they don't have to undergo randomized placebo-controlled studies over a long period of time to prove safety or effectiveness. And so to me, that's shocking to realize is that they actually don't require the same level of safety testing. So to give you an example, when they introduced Viagra as a product, medical product, they were required to run randomized studies where some people got the drug, some people didn't. Both of them received a pill that looked identical. And they ran that research for 10 years before they were able to gather enough information to deem that product was safe for public use. Let me tell you how long is the length of safety testing of vaccines. Maybe I'll ask you the question. How long do you think vaccines, childhood vaccines, are safety tested for to look for side effects?
I didn't see that in anything I read up this morning.
So what I can tell you is that the average childhood vaccine is monitored for adverse effects for between 3 and 5 days.
Okay. Not very long.
Not very long, and obviously not designed to determine whether the impact impacts the neurological or immunological system of our children. And so what we've got is we've got safety testing that is clearly inadequate. It's not really designed to figure out whether these products are safe and effective. The other thing is that none of the vaccines on the childhood vaccination schedule were ever tested against a neutral placebo. And a neutral placebo is an inert substance like a sugar pill or a saline injection that is an inert. Mm-hmm. Every single childhood vaccine is tested against another vaccine. And so, to me, that's fraudulent science. It's even hard to regard it as science. To me, what we're dealing with is promotion. So when you start to realize those kinds of things, you realize that we're the system of accountability is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that most people don't realize is that in 1986, that the U.S. government granted the vaccine manufacturers legal immunity. And by that, what I mean is that they are not responsible for any injury or harm or death caused by their products. So the vaccine industry is the only industry, pharmaceutical or otherwise, where the manufacturer is not liable for harms caused by their products. To me, that creates a very dangerous situation. You know, they get to produce products that they're not held accountable for.
Mm-hmm.
And in the United States and elsewhere, the compensation program for injury is not paid by the manufacturer. It's paid by taxpayers. It's part of the cost of the vaccine. And so, to me, that's highly irresponsible. It violates all kinds of normal safety precautions and regulations and independent oversight. So you begin to realize is that we actually don't have a product that is properly safety tested. We have one that has been given license to not only to be introduced without safeguards, but in many cases around the world, they're now introducing mandates where you have no choice but to be vaccinated. And I find that incredibly, not only unethical, immoral, fraudulent, it should never be permitted.
Tell us about physicians for informed consent.
Well, you know, what's interesting is they often the criticism I'll get is that, you know, everybody agrees. The consensus is that vaccines are safe and effective. And to me, Physicians for Informed Consent is a group of physicians from around the world who their basic premise is they believe citizens ought to have the right to informed consent. It's, you know, it's our ethical and legal right, which has been removed when the topic is vaccination. So this is a group of hundreds of physicians from around the world who their mandate is to protect our right to informed consent. And what they say is they're not either for vaccination or against vaccination. What they are for is informed consent.
Mm-hmm. So not with fear or ignorance, just to explain what it will do or what it won't do and the precautions and the concerns around it in order to have a good choice around the whole thing.
Absolutely. So to me, you know, it's like the organization that I'm with, Vaccine Choice Canada, we are not pro or anti-vaccine. We are pro-informed consent, pro-choice. And something as very basic as every purchaser of a vaccine product, every individual who is being asked to vaccinate ought to be given the product information insert that goes with every product. And it's almost never is a patient voluntarily given that insert. It's like reading the ingredients list on a product that you buy.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is they have removed that. They don't make it readily available. We strongly encourage parents to ask for that insert, and they're often being refused by our public health nurses and our public officials and physicians saying, oh, you don't want to read that. There's lots of stuff in there. It's just going to scare you and, you know, just basically trust me. And I think this is not an issue that we should rely on trust or faith. As a responsible parent, we ought to do our homework. And if people, after reading that information, choose to go ahead, so be it. Then they, you know, they have acted responsibly because they gathered the information and made their own choice. What we know is that while the vaccine manufacturers cannot be sued for harm or death, they can be sued if they are fraudulent in their description of their product. So when you read the insert, it actually describes the limitations to safety testing. It describes the adverse events that have been reported. It has all of that information. And the inserts are actually quite extensive. They are 15 to 20 pages long, and those are rarely given to individuals or parents.
Yeah, most parents don't want
to
read
make their decision
that much, yeah. But Theodore, was there a time when you came up against so much that you just knew that you couldn't back out, that you had to keep going with all this?
Well, you know, when I began to recognize what had happened to my son and started to become vocal and just sharing that information. I mean, I wasn't even what you would call an advocate then. I was simply telling my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have many parents contact me and tell me the similar stories. And, you know, I very quickly learned that the narrative that's put out by the vaccine industry that reactions, negative reactions, are one in a million. Well, I thought I've met every one of them on the planet and many times over, because I would hear stories like you started to share, Kathy, about this is how my child responded following the vaccine. They screamed for 2 days. They had a high fever. They had rashes over their whole body. They lost their ability to talk, to walk, to feed themselves. Like, the stories are heartbreaking. And what you realize is that they're not, those stories are not being honored by our medical system or by our media. They're being ignored, dismissed, marginalized in a way that's so incredibly disrespectful. So I began to realize that I had a responsibility here to share this information and wake people up.
Mm-hmm. And where can people find your website? Tell us about your website, what we can find on it, who we can connect with.
Well, my own personal website around my book, the title of my book is called Dare to Question, and I was simply inviting parents to begin to question what they've been told. And so the book is designed as a series of questions, and then the evidence that I accumulated over 30 years of research. So my website is called daretoquestionvaccination.com. And on that site, it's a very simple site. I haven't invested a whole lot of time or resources into it. But what I've done is that I've made my book available for free download. And I have about 15 to 20, 3 to 5 minute videos where I talk about this issue. So it's my effort to educate people. The piece of work that really is a substantive body of work is the Vaccine Choice Canada website. So that's vaccinechoicecanada.com. And Vaccine Choice Canada has been operating in some form or another since 1984. It began in Ontario when Ontario mandated vaccines without any opportunity for exemptions. And a group of parents lobbied for those exemptions, and that group of parents eventually became Vaccine Choice Canada. There's something like 1,600 documents on that website, so it's very dense, and you know, the criticism of it is there's too much information there. But if you really wanted to educate yourself about this topic, you could spend another 2 years just reading what's on that website. So vaccinechoicecanada.com.
Okay. Theodore Kuntz, I thank you so much for putting heart and soul into all the work you've done with Vaccine Choice Canada and for authoring Dare to Question. Beautiful works. I'd also like to thank our producer, Reg Fair, and we'd like to thank all the community stations across Canada that carry this program. Have a healthy and happy day.